And if you would think back with me to Easter, okay? It's been 43 days. Think of all of the things that's gone on in your life from the resurrection till now. Okay, just try to think back and what all has gone on. Maybe not anything that's of tremendous importance or anything, but just all of the things that's happened. Okay, that's the length of time Christ was on the earth before he ascended back to heaven. So think about all of the opportunities, all of the different times that Christ appeared to people after he was raised from the dead. He had 40 days. He took 40 days to do that. The Bible records 10 appearances. John leads us to believe there were a lot more. He says many other things Jesus did that are not recorded in this book. Okay? So at least 10 times in 40-day period of time, Jesus appeared to different people, as many as 500 at one time together. So from, when was Easter? April what? What day was that? From somewhere around the second week in April till now, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was on the earth. Okay? And there are all kinds of secular writing, historical writings and stuff about what was going on during that period of time, as well as the Bible. So we're going to look and see why the ascension is an important thing. How many sermons have y'all, can y'all think of that you've heard about the ascension of Jesus Christ? But how many sermons actually about the ascension? There's hardly any. I actually went and looked up sermons online to see how many there were. And how many sermons are on Sermon Central, like a million or something? There were 30 on that subject. So is it not an important subject? Or because it's 40 days after Easter, it falls in the middle of the week. If it was on Sunday, do you think there would be more sermons about it, maybe? So let's see. The Bible gives pretty much a pretty good importance to it, right? So let's go look at some verses. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised you, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up in the sky as he was going. Then suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven." Can y'all kind of picture that in your mind? Standing there with Christ, and he just emphasizes he slowly ascended up into heaven. And as they were intently, it says, looking after him, these two men, angels, appear and tell him, basically, go to work. It's time to quit standing around. Now that he's ascended to heaven, it's time to go to work. So, how many of you have had the luxury to say about what you want to accomplish in life, that it's finished. Has anybody been able to say about their life, I've accomplished everything that I want to accomplish, it's finished? Have you ever said that about a job you were doing? Right? You finished a job. You may have finished cutting a field of wheat, or you may have painted a house, or you may have hauled a load of oil, or you may have made a baby quilt.
Done.
Huh?
Said, I'm glad that's done.
I'm glad that's done. You said, somebody said, how much do you like? Well, it's finished. Right? That's pretty neat to be able to say that, right? It's finished. Well, Jesus could do that. Jesus did do that. He could say, it is finished. I've done everything God wanted me to do. Right? In John 19:30, he said, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So on the cross, after he'd finished everything that he came to do, and what did he come to do? To seek and to save that which was lost, to pay the payment for our sins, to satisfy the justice of God for us. He said, I've finished that. That's all done. And since it was done, he didn't need to be here anymore. He bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I have power to take it up again. So nobody killed Jesus. Right? Jesus finished the work and he gave up his spirit back to the Father. His spirit left and his body died. And they put him in a tomb for 3 days. What happened on the third day? He got up. And he hung around and talked to people and seen people and done things for 40 days. And then on the 40th day, we read what just happened. So what have you been doing for the last 40 days?
Working,
churching, witnessing, doing discipleship lessons, socializing for 40 days. Huh?
Volleyball.
Somebody tell me something that really neat that happened to you in the last 40 days. Anybody?
Went to a grandson's graduation.
Our grandson's graduation. How many people we know graduated, right? Quite a few people graduated in the last 40 days. I did a wedding yesterday. That was pretty important for somebody, right? So 40 days. I want to emphasize this 40 days to you, because I think sometimes people just get the idea Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared a couple times and he took off. We don't often think of the length of the time that he stayed. So, it is finished. So if he finished everything that he wanted to do, why hang around for 40 days?
Prove that he's alive.
So he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Huh? Let's look and see a little bit. Here's something for you to think about. In the wilderness, when Satan tempted him, he basically conquered sin, right? And in the garden, when he was tempted, he said, not my will, but the Father's be done. On the cross, he conquered death. In the grave, he conquered hell. And now he ascended to the Father, he conquered Satan. So why did Jesus remain on the earth for 40 days? First of all, why did Jesus remain here? Hadn't men hurt him enough? Hadn't we done enough to him? Why would he stick around 40 days when he could go back and be with the Father? It'd be like, you're gone, you don't want to be where you are. I was drafted. I served, but I was drafted, okay? I didn't want to be where I was. I wanted to be home. They sent me to Fort Polk, Louisiana. It was horrible down there. And then they sent me to Fort Sill, which was a little better. And then they sent me to Germany. That was all right, but I didn't want to be there. I'd met Belva by then. I wanted to be here, but they wouldn't let me come back. They took me when I didn't want to go. They kept me where I didn't want to stay. Right? Why would Jesus want to hang around here when he could be back with the Father? He finished everything that it took to make the payment for sin, but there was still some things that needed to be taught. There was still some proofs that needed to be done. So when we think about the ascension, one of the goals was that he wanted to finish teaching the apostles. Did he have a little trouble getting it across to them before he died, before the resurrection? He had to take a little bit of extra time to, now that it's happened on this side of it, they could grasp it a little bit better, right? How many of you thought, if I would have been one of the apostles, I wouldn't have been so dumb. I wouldn't have been so thick-headed. Have you ever thought that? I mean, they didn't seem to get it. Why not just go back to the Father? He's going to have it really good. On the last night of his life, he takes them to the upper room and he observes the Lord's Supper. He institutes the Lord's Supper. He shares with them the fruit of the vine, and he speaks of his shed blood. He speaks of everything that's going to have to happen. But he tells them, during that time, he said, just before that in John chapter 16, I'm going to come to this again. He said, I have a whole lot of other things to tell you, but you won't understand it. You won't be able to grasp it right now, right? So when Jesus died on the cross, even though he had told them all those things and instituted this and said, do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And what do we call today? Memorial Day. What did it used to be called? Decoration Day. And it was called that because people would go decorate the graves of fallen soldiers. And then it just changed into going and decorating all graves. And then it got changed to Memorial Day. But a memorial means what? Something you remember. Y'all may not can see this, but this says, do in remembrance of me. Why do we do this? To remember what Jesus done when he was on the earth. Right? Now, Jesus ascended to the Father, so he's with the Father, and we're going to talk about that. But we are to remember what he accomplished when he's here. We're to remember that. You think it's necessary that we set aside a day to remember the sacrifice that people have made? I do, because I think we just get too busy with life sometimes and we forget. Right? I take it that's Adam's military coat there. All these ribbons, if you've been in the military, if you understand much about the military, all those ribbons means things that he accomplished when he was in the military. Right? I think he was in Iraq a couple of times and Afghanistan once. And then a lot of those other things are awards and medals and the stuff that he got. So why does a military person wear something like, why have that? Why wear that? Say it again. He's been tested and proven. What does it say? Chad was in the military. When you see that, what does that say to you?
He's been to battle.
He's been to battle. He's been tested. He's been proven. What else? Can y'all think of some things that says?
Honor.
Honor. Brad, you were over there.
Sacrifice.
Which one of those is Iraq? Which one of those is Iraq? This one? And the cluster in it means he was there twice, right? So this is hanging in his closet now. He don't wear it anymore. I got one. I tried to put it on. It don't button. Why might be one reason Christ stayed around for 40 days? He'd been tested and proven, hadn't he? He completed everything that he was supposed to do, right? Yeah, he said, I'd like to go on. It's better that I stay here. Yeah. Okay, military people have these, and I think this is remarkable, okay? What did Jesus have to show that he had been tested and proven? He had a big old hole in his side and nail holes in his feet and his hands, right? After he was resurrected, he had those, right? We know that when he comes back, he's still going to have them. Did y'all know that? Have y'all ever heard the saying, the only thing made by hands in heaven is the scars that Jesus bears? So what did Jesus do for 40 days? Something like that, right? What did he tell Thomas? Yeah, stick your finger in there and see if this is real. Right? Have you ever heard of anybody that wore these and they wasn't allowed to wear them or they didn't earn them? What do you think when you hear something like that? What would you think if somebody was wearing some of these ribbons and they didn't deserve them? Huh? What a fake, and what do you think about them? They don't deserve that. They don't earn that. So what does it do to the people who did earn it? Huh? It if it has the effect, if you allowed it to go, to cheapen it, doesn't it? If just everybody could wear these, it would cheapen the sacrifice of those who done it. What do all other religions try to do to what Christ has done? They try to cheapen it. Nobody else was God, come into flesh, lived a perfect life, died our death, buried and rose again, and now ascended to the Father. No other religion did that. Where's Muhammad? He's in the grave. Where's Krishna? He's in the grave. Where's whoever? Jesus is the only one that this could symbolize. He's the one that has the scars. He could hang around for 40 days and show them. Right? Isn't that kind of neat? I mean, when you think about it. Do we owe these people honor?
Amen.
Yeah. Joe's in that, whatever you call that, hover chair. Partially because he was in Vietnam and partially because all the Agent Orange and everything that they dealt with over there. We don't have Brownie with us today, partly because of that. Do we owe him honor? How much more do we owe Christ? How much more? Do we always show it? Do we show it to these guys as much as we should? And I know we don't show it for Christ like we should. Why did he hang around for 40 days? He earned it. Y'all agree? He earned it. He earned the right to walk up in front of somebody and say, if you don't think that I'm him, then stick your hand in there. He earned it, didn't he? Isn't that neat? Where's he at? That's what I want to talk about. We're not ever going to get there. What time is it? Oh, man. Okay, let's go to what I want to talk about. Why did Jesus need to go back to the Father? Why did he need to go back to the Father? So he could send the Holy Spirit. Why is it good to have the Holy Spirit instead of Jesus? Because one of the sacrifices that Jesus made in becoming man was that he's forever in the body. That's a great sacrifice. He was God, and he became man. And because he became man and paid for our sins, the Bible still calls him the man, Christ Jesus. He's a man. Now, he's God. He was 100% God and 100% man. But because in his body, he could be one place at one time. Jesus went back to the Father so the Holy Spirit could come. John 16:5 says, "But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I've said these things." In other words, he said, "I'm." This is before he got crucified. He said, "Y'all are all full of grief because I'm going away. But very truly, I say to you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate or the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about who? About sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll come and prove the world what? Wrong. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you than you can bear now. You know what the whole lot more that he had to say to us was? You know what it was? Anybody know? The rest of the Bible. He had the whole rest of the Bible to tell us. I was fixing to take yours, but I didn't want to mess your place up. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and make it known to you. Isn't that neat stuff? Okay. 1 Corinthians, do you not know your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? If you've accepted Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit lives in you. And everywhere you go, God goes. Right? Whom you received from God, you're not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Why should you honor God? We're his, and we've been bought with what? A price. What was the price? The crucifixion. The horrible sacrifice that he went through. We're to do what? Honor God. When we do that, is that honoring God? Whenever we take a day out, do we honor those guys and those girls? Yes. And they deserve honor. But how much more do we honor God? And how are we to honor God? What is it? How are we to honor God according to that? With our bodies. What does that mean? How you live. So that people can look at you and say, that person's a Christian. They're Christ-like. Does that honor God? Yes. But the fruit of the Spirit, is this how we honor God? We have the Holy Spirit. Why we have the Holy Spirit? Because the price that was paid. And once you have the Holy Spirit, then you can manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When can you have joy? If you have the Holy Spirit, when can you have joy? All the time. All the time. Even when things are not going your way. Huh? You can still have joy. So what if something horrible is going on in your life? How do you have joy? How do you show people joy? How do you honor God with your body? With joy. It doesn't say you have to be happy. Right? Don't say you have to like it. But what does it do? It says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. joy no matter what's going on. You can manifest joy. Does that honor God? Yes. Look, Jesus, if he went to the Father, could do his intercessory work as an advocate or as a mediator. What's another word? What word do we use for that down here? A lawyer. I hate to use that word. But he can do that as because he ascended the Father. This is the Vines Greek dictionary. Basically, it says that a mediator is a go-between. It's used in two ways in the New Testament. One who mediates between two parties with a view to producing peace. Though more than mere mediator, is in view for the salvation of men, necessitated that the mediator should himself possess the nature and attributes of him whom he acts, and should likewise participate in the nature for whom he acts. In other words, he had to be both God and man, right? Goes on to say, only by being possessed of both deity and humanity could he comprehend the claims of the one and the needs of the other. Further, the claims and the needs could be met only by one who himself proved sinless, would offer himself an sacrifice. It means he takes the place of somebody else. On behalf of men, one who acts as a guarantee so as to secure something which otherwise could not be obtained. That's what he's doing in heaven. He's up there mediating, securing things for you that if he hadn't came, lived, died, buried, rose again, ascended the Father, sent the Holy Spirit, it couldn't be obtained. That's what he's done. Isn't that neat stuff? That's what he's done. So what's Jesus doing right now? Mediating. For who? For who?
Believers.
For who?
For me.
That's right. And how busy do you keep him? How busy do we keep him? Right? There is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. One. I'm not a mediator. No other pastor, priest, anybody, whatever you want to say, they're not a mediator. It don't do you any good to come to confess to me, except I might be able to gossip to you about somebody. Who's the mediator? Jesus. Who makes it possible for you to go to God? Jesus. Who pleads your case? Jesus. One mediator. Because he died for us. One mediator. Right? Can we do intercessory things for each other? Can I intercede for Jordan in prayer? Yeah. But ultimately, who intercedes? Christ. My dear children, I write these things to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Isn't that great? He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Those are really good verses, but I want to go, because I'm running out of time, I want to go show you something else. In Job. Job is probably the oldest book written. He lived about the time of Abraham, which would be about 500 years after the flood. Okay? So it would be 2,000 years before Christ that Job lived. Look what he said. He's talking to his friend. Most of y'all probably know what Job was going through. Horrible, horrible, horrible time in his life, right? Worse probably than maybe anybody. And anyway, said, even if I wash myself with soap and my hands with cleansing powder, you would plunge me into a slime pit so that even my clothes would detest me. So Job's feeling a little sorry for himself. You get that? But listen what he says now. He's talking to his friends about God. He is not a mere mortal like me, that I might answer him, that we might comfort each other and confront each other in court. What's Job's problem here? 2,000 years before Christ. What's his problem? I don't have any way to get to God. Is that his problem? I don't have any way to get to God. Suppose you're facing the problems that you're facing right now, but you don't have any way to get to God. Isn't that great? Think about the privilege and the honor that we have. All we have to do is just think, and we are in the presence of God. He said, if God was a man like me, I could go confront him. I could figure out what's going on here, but he's not. I don't have any way to get to him. You ever had a dispute with somebody, but they wouldn't talk to you about it, and so you send a go-between to try to take care of it? He said, that's what I need. But get this. If only there were someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together. Job's asking this 2,000 years before Christ. If somebody could just bring us together. You ever had a fight? You too?
Many times.
But not lately. No. Do you ever think, I need some help whenever y'all were fighting? I need somebody to bring us together. Right? And you think, who can do that? Who could do that? Did you ever go get help?
I went to the man upstairs. You went to,
because you had an intercessor up there. This is what Job wants. He said, someone to remove God's rod from me. What do you think he means there, God's rod? What's a rod represent?
Punishment.
So that this terror would frighten me no more. Then I would speak up without fear of him. But now, as it stands with me, I cannot. I can't go to him. He's greater than, he's so much above me. I don't have any way to reach him. I don't know how I'm going to stop all this stuff. I don't have, basically, he's saying, I don't have any hope. Is that not true? Now look. But Job, just a few chapters later, says, I know that my Redeemer lives. What's that prove? Amazing. Think about this. 2,000 years before Jesus was born, Job knew what?
He knew there was
going to
be a Redeemer.
Yeah, and he's alive, which makes him have to be God. Okay? That in the end, he will stand on the earth. He knew Jesus one day. He didn't know who it was, but he knew there would be someone. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. What did he know there? I'll be resurrected. And he says, I myself will see my own, not somebody else, not some reincarnation, but I myself, and I, not another, and how my heart yearns within me. Isn't that neat stuff? We have the answer to all of that. We should remember that. Chad, go grab. You'll tell them we're about ready. I have a bunch more. I'm going to quit. There's my diagram. Y'all get to see my triangle all the time, right? If you're saved, your body, soul, and spirit, your spirit's connected to God. Our heart kind of determines whether we live spiritual or whether we live fleshly. If you live fleshly, your body, your brain, all the things that's going on in it, and your emotions and all your intellect, they kind of tend to run things. But if you're spiritual, then the Holy Spirit runs things. The only reason that we can have that chart up there and we can have the hope that our heart is what God wants it to be is because Jesus was God in the flesh, died for our sins, buried, rose again, ascended to the Father, is making intercession for us, and sent the Holy Spirit, and is going to come back. That's why we can live as spiritual beings. Otherwise, you'll live at the bottom. And we tend to live at the bottom anyway. Even with all of this. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that you have revealed to us. We thank you even that we live in the time that we do, that everything that Jesus couldn't tell them, he has told us, that we can understand it all. that we have an advocate with the Father. We have a mediator. We just praise you for that. We want to give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.